I invite you this morning to walk on water. Listen to the text from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33, where we hear about Peter's attempt. This is the middle of the chapter, so some things have already happened. And then immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. He went up the mountain by himself to pray, and when evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Let's pause there for a moment. Peter's the bold one. He goes from fear to bold eagerness, like a car going from 0 to 60 in 30 seconds flat. So the next thing out of Peter's mouth is, Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's your command, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He wants to walk on the water too. Jesus is doing it. Peter wants to do it. And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." There are many places in the Bible where God, in the form of God the Creator or the Son, Jesus, invites somebody to go for a walk. God in the Garden of Eden was walking around when he created Adam and Eve. God, as a general rule, asked people to walk with him. Moses and the Israelites were out for a walk, a stroll across the Red Sea. Joshua was walking with God when he walked around Jericho in triumph with his army, and the walls came tumbling down. The disciples on the walk to Emmaus were walking with Jesus, and Paul on the road to Damascus encountered Jesus on a walk. It is not surprising that Peter wants to walk with Jesus, even if it's on water. A lot happens when you go for a walk with God. And Peter's walk on water is an invitation to everyone who wants to step out in faith, who wants to experience more of the power and presence of God. Water walking is the picture of doing with God's help what we are unable to do without God's help. Even when invited, Peter couldn't do it by himself. There's a pattern of what happens when God calls you to walk. When God wants to use and influence and improve someone's life, there's a pattern to what happens. The first thing is that the person gets called. "Come here." That's what Jesus said to Peter, "Come." You remember the burning bush that called Moses. There are all kinds of ways that God calls, but there's always a call. God called Jonah. But there has to be a response to the call. The person has to say yes. And in order to say yes to God, you have to trust enough that where God calls, God will provide. And not everybody does, so not everybody says yes. Not everybody answers the call from God, yes. And if you don't answer it at all, that's a no answer. Some people respond to the call from God by running the other way. That's what Jonah did. And often when we run the other way when God calls, God won't leave us alone. Sometimes God will make a whale swallow you up and spit you out where he wants you to go. Most people sort of respond with fear or a sense of incompetence when God calls. Moses said, "Not me, Lord, take my brother. I don't talk very well." And God said, "I'll take care of that." That's the third step. God calls, we respond often with fear, and then there's reassurance from God. "I'm going to take care of you. Just do what I say. I'll get you there. Ready or not, here we come." And then there has to be a decision to follow. Call, fearful response, reassurance, decision to follow, and the result is a changed life. Not a perfect walk. Peter started to sink, but a changed life. We learn and grow often more from failure than from success. A couple years ago, I don't know how long, somebody, maybe Marianne or Al can tell me, Vic started coming to church. He hadn't been in church in 40 years. He told me about that. He grew up in church. He just sort of dropped out. But he loved what he saw happening in Libby's life once she got connected with some really faithful Christians who were disciples who were really trying to follow Jesus. He liked what it was doing in her life. So he decided he would come try it. And when he had a good experience, he kept coming back, and he loved it. And once he made a decision to really follow Jesus, not just pretend at it or give it lip service or do it occasionally, once he really decided to follow Jesus, he was all in. He was here any Sunday he was in town, but that wasn't enough for Vic. I got text messages from him every single Sunday. He'd sit there with his phone in his hand, checking out the things I was talking about in the sermon. Is anybody doing that right now? He'd check my facts, or he would go deeper. He'd hear a word, and he'd Google the meaning of it. I was looking at some of the text messages this morning. I wanted to check and see if I'd saved any of them, and I didn't save enough of them. But one of the very first messages I got from him was, "I was talking with a friend at a horse show about exegesis and eisegesis." Does that make sense to any of you? Blake, retired minister, you know what that is, right? Gloria knows what that is. Anybody else here? Exegesis and eisegesis. You know them well, don't you? Eisegesis and exegesis. It's a way of looking at Scripture that we do when we're getting ready for a sermon. It's one of two ways of looking at Scripture. You either look at the text to see what it means, or you decide you know what God wants to say, and then you look for Scripture that matches it. And so Vic was talking with a friend of his who's a preacher, who preaches at horse shows, and he was learning about exegesis and eisegesis. And he said, imagine my surprise when I came to church today and you were actually doing exegesis. I'm really glad about that. I think I'll come back. He wanted to get deeper and know more and learn more about God and about how church works. And he even wanted to learn how preaching works and what goes into it in a really deep way. When he was committed, he was willing to walk on water. He was willing to take a risk and step out in faith. Started helping with PB&J, started coming and roping bales of hay at Trunk or Treat. Isn't that walking on water? That's pretty risky. Somebody might think you're being foolish. And he dug deeper and deeper and deeper into Scripture. And he was tempted to do what we all want to do. Decide what God's saying that matches what you want God to say and find Scripture to match it. You can do that. There's enough in that whole library of books in the Bible that you can find what you want it to say. But that's not the way to learn about God. The way to learn about God is to read it and find its meaning in it. And sometimes we start to sink because it doesn't say what we think it should, because it doesn't match our way of life and challenges us to change. And so in learning from this horse guy about exegesis and eisegesis, Vic truly learned how to study the Bible in order to be transformed by it, not to use it to proof text what he already believed about the world. And every Sunday I got text messages saying, well, if that's true about sin, then what about this? And why didn't you talk about this? And one Sunday I texted him back, because I didn't have 6 hours, I had 15 minutes. That's why. In fact, I think I texted him that more than once. And because we don't have 6 hours, I'm going to extend an invitation to you to walk on water with Jesus. But remember, if you're going to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. You have to be willing to leave what's familiar and safe and comfortable and to be challenged by something that's risky and scary. And that's what communion invites us to do every single time. Because on that night in which he was betrayed, when Jesus took bread and blessed it and